Voters are expected to blame Chinese officials for the hacking of British voters' details. The attack in 2022 saw 40 million people's personal data accessed. Rishi Sunak says the UK is determined to respond.
China is behaving in an increasingly assertive way abroad, authoritarian at home, and it represents an epoch-defining challenge and also the greatest state-based threat to our economic security. So it's right that we take measures to protect ourselves, which is what we are doing.
Russia has rejected a claim that Islamic State was behind an attack on a concert hall near Moscow. Four men have appeared in court with bruised and swollen faces, charged with killing more than 130 people. Vladimir Putin has suggested the attackers were linked to Ukraine. Military analyst Sean Bell thinks it's a ploy to boost support for the war effort.
Why they would head for one of the most fortified borders anywhere in the world at the moment, I mean, just beggars belief. I don't buy it. Now, the potential is Russia's leveraging this to try and justify increasing its attacks against Ukraine for a domestic audience.
Ofgem is considering changing the price cap so it varies depending on electricity demand and the time of day. The regulator says it's also consulting on setting prices based on customers' vulnerability and restricting rates based on other market tariffs. People being discharged from hospitals to care homes from next Monday in England will no longer get a routine COVID test. The government says enough residents are vaccinated and variants are no longer a serious threat. The average family's disposable income grew by almost 9% in February compared with the year before. New data shows the typical household saw an extra £18.56 a week. And Lorraine Kelly will receive a special prize at the BAFTA Television Awards in recognition of her 40 years in broadcasting. The presenter was surprised with the news on her show by Susanna Reid. That's the latest. I'm Simon English.
This is Phoenix FM.
Thanks very much to Simon.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
And now the weather for today. We've missed that sunshine from the weekend. It's 11 degrees, light cloud and a gentle breeze going down to about 6 degrees overnight. You might get a little bit of sunshine around about 5 or 6 poking through the clouds. But otherwise, it's a pretty much a dull day.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Now it's part two of the book club. We've already heard from Sylvia Kent, who's still here. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello.
And our guest today is Katie Pearson, who is group managing editor at Life and Living Magazine. She has got a background as a journalist working on the News of the World, Evening Standard, Lady Magazine, that's to name a few, as well as an award-winning Mummy Life blog. So, very good afternoon.
Afternoon.
It's lovely to meet you.
Likewise, it's really nice to be in the studio.
Yep. Now, we're going to talk about, first off, journalist. When did you realise that you wanted to be a journalist? Is this something you wanted to do from being at school?
Yeah, it was, I think, when I was at secondary school. I was at St Bernard's in Westcliff, and I was always very good at English, at the writing side of things. And I think for a while I thought I'd be an author. And then I started trying to write fiction and suddenly realised I was much better at non-fiction and chatting to people and doing that side of things. So while I was in sick form, I used to write the sick form's newsletter, and that led me to thinking I enjoyed it. So I'd go to university and I did write writing and media at Middlesex, and very quickly there, when I was doing the creative writing modules, the poetry modules, journalism was just, it's what I gravitated towards. It was, it sounds silly, but it was what I was best at. So I very quickly thought, that's what I'm going to want to do. And so I thought it's got not going to be enough to just get a degree. I'm going to need to get some actual experience. So I applied to the Evening Echo to come in and do some work experience. And when I was literally in my first term at uni, so I was 18 years old, and that from there it started.
What was the job like back then, and how has technology changed from when you first started?
Well, when I first started, there wasn't really websites, or, you know, newspapers didn't have websites. There wasn't social media. There was a lot of having to go out and talk to people and actually ring people up and do all of those things, which now, you know, people consume media and news and information on these ever-evolving platforms of social media, but that didn't really exist exist then, and that the papers were the Echo at that point was the Evening Echo, so our deadlines were always first thing in the morning. So you'd be in the office for 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. You'd be doing police calls at 7 o'clock to get the paper out for 7:30 in the morning, and then people would get the paper, you know, that afternoon, that evening for that day's news. Whereas now it's, you know, it's completely different. People want instant news. They want to click on Facebook and see it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you worked at the very famous News of the World.
I did.
Which has been shut for, what was it, about 8 years or something?
I think it's longer than that now, actually. Yeah.
Oh, I used to love the News of the World. I thought it was just such a great paper for the gossip and everything else. So what was it like working? Because that must have been frantic.
It was... looking back, it was a completely different world. There's nowhere like it. There really wasn't. Tabloid journalism at that point was just... It was just full on. It was just crazy. You know, the longest shifts, the chase for the biggest stories. It was absolutely crazy. And I started there. I was hired by Andy Coulson when I was literally graduating. It was funny enough, I'd gone for the graduate trainee scheme, but where I'd been working at the Echo for the 3 years while I was at the university, Andy basically said, "Well, you're kind of overqualified for us to train you. I'll give you a job, I'll give you 3 months worth of shifts, we'll pay for your postgrad, see how you go, sink or swim." And I obviously did all right, so I stayed.
So what would happen? Would you sort of you say, right, you've got this, there might be a murder case or there might be some showbiz thing, I want you to go out, get some notes, interview people?
Yeah, for a period of time, it was basically a sackable offence not to go into work with your passport. You always had to have a change of clothes, you know, glamorous clothes, all the rest of it, ready to go, because I could literally be called at any point and told, "Oh, you need to go there, this story's breaking there, this is breaking there, just go." And where I was the youngest there, I was the least experienced, I didn't really get for a long time trusted with anything particularly good or interesting. I just spent evenings sat on celebrities' doorsteps, but not their house they actually lived in, like their third or fourth house, on the off chance that they might turn up. And you get news editors forget that you were there, and I'd ring at sort of 11 o'clock and go, "Do I still need to be here?" And they'd go, "Oh, sorry, we thought you'd gone home at 9 and you'd be like, "Oh no."
And how competitive, because I always think being a journalist is quite solitary, because you can't really say too much to the people around you. If you've got a story, and then it must be really exciting to go, this is going to be my story, I'm going to break it, I've done all the work, I don't want somebody else to take the glory. It must be really competitive, and that's on a daily basis, because even if you build a story over a week, the next day the story's out, you're working on something else.
Yeah, it's ever evolving. I mean, one of the things that you would have is obviously you'd have your news editors or your editors who, you know, needed to know what you were working on, needed to support that, would say to you, "You need to develop it in this way or do that." It would be, you know, between news and features, that always used to be the thing at News of the World. You'd have the features team and the news team, and it was a competition between those two who was going to get the front page, because, you know, news always wanted to get it, features always wanted to get it, and that competition was rife. It was, whichever department you were on, you never wanted the other one to scoop you.
Do you remember the very first piece you wrote?
I do. It was when I was at the Echo, and on my first day's work experience, I think I got trusted with writing a picture story about a golden retriever who'd won an award. I can't remember what the award was for, but at the time it seemed like a very big deal. But I think they just needed someone to write that picture caption. So
I wanted to also bring in Sylvia here, because obviously the world of right journalism was very, very male dominated, and from your time of working in that industry, and then Katie's, and see what the difference is, because I'm sure even Katie would have experienced quite a lot of sexism. It's probably changed a bit. Still really half of women in lots of areas still have to push ourselves.
I'm sure she
and
is.
So tell us about your experience, because working...
Bear in mind, I didn't come into writing until much later, because I worked for Hansard for 26 years, and also for Lord Plum, if you remember. And everyone was very, very polite there. But... as a freelance, completely different, you see, from Katie. I just worked all over the place and wherever there was a story. A lot of the chaps thought a great deal of themselves, and some of the wonderful women, the editors and and other older people, particularly in the society, we had some people, well, I don't know, getting on for 100, and they still belonged, still came to our things. But it goes back to Victorian times when there were very, very keen and clever women, never got a chance. So they took a nom de plume, a maigre nom de plume, and that's how they got their work published. A lot of them starved because people didn't think that they could do the job.
Yeah, yeah.
But this happens in lots of other industries too, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But Kate has done so wonderfully well.
I always think there was a bit of a double standard. I think it still exists, but maybe to a lesser extent now. Maybe I'm just a bit older. But I know that when I was definitely starting out, it would be fine for blokes to turn up in, you know, scruffy suits, yeah, all the rest of it. Yeah. But heaven forbid, as a woman, you turned up in anything less than makeup perfect, yeah, pretty dress. Yeah. And there would just be this expectation that you'd always be lovely and pretty. And yeah, you know, I think it's much easier for an ugly man to do well, yeah, than an ugly woman, which is unfair, but yeah. Yes,
absolutely. I'm glad I'm not in that industry.
Things are changing. Things are changing.
I do think they are ever, yeah, changing.
Yeah, they are, because women are taking over the world, as we know.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. So what would be your two top stories that you've ever worked on that you were really proud of?
I think one of them that I was really, really pleased with is in quite recent years, was on Essex Living magazine. We did basically an Essex Women Means Business feature, in which I got 50 Essex women from all different businesses, all different industries, and we all come together and did one big massive photo shoot, which you can imagine, with the diaries of 50 women, and these are impressive, inspiring women, getting all of their diaries to marry up to be in one place on one day for one shoot, and then I interviewed all of these women, and I think we took out about 25 pages of the magazine.
Wow.
But it was so fascinating just to hear all of these people's, all these different women's stories, and to give them a platform that, you know, people wouldn't necessarily see, sort of the top bods in the NHS, the top inspectors in the police, and it was really, really good. I really enjoyed doing that.
And what's the other one too?
The other one was actually I interviewed Debbie Bright, who is Lydia Bright of Towie fame. And what I didn't realise until I was coming to interview her was that she has actually fostered hundreds of children. And her stories and her opening up and the difference that she's made was phenomenal. And that's the thing, I think, that we're really lucky in our job, is that you get to talk to people and have people's real interesting stories. It's just an excuse to be nosy, to find out more. And I love it. So yeah, I think they are probably the two in recent years that I've loved.
Now, you've jumped from being a journalist to being an editor. So how did that happen?
It kind of is a sort of evolution almost. I think I was at News of the World for 5-6 years, and then I went on to Fabulous magazine, which was their magazine previously. I think it was Sunday magazine.
Yeah.
But when that launched and become Fabulous magazine, I come over at that point. I'd been doing more digital work, more stuff on the website, because at that point it was growing, and because I was young, I must know how technology worked. So it kind of happened. Had no idea how it worked, but I just had to get to grips with it. But then I kind of become the online editor. So that sort of pushed me in that direction. And then I went to the Lady magazine as their web editor, their fashion editor, and built my skills like that. And I'd obviously been a features editor. So I just kind of got more responsibility, and it kind of grew. And I think I launched Essex Living magazine seven years ago. And then I launched another magazine. I think it was Hertfordshire Living, and then I launched Surrey Living, and then I launched Sussex Prestige. So I just kept on accumulating more responsibility. I think it's one of those things that you can't learn any other way than on the job. So you kind of, the first time that you're editing, say, a magazine, it's really scary. The first time you're in charge of being a features editor, it's scary, but you just sort of get on with it and hope that the training and the experience you've got helps you. And thus far, touch wood, it's been okay.
Now, Essex Life, how does that work from one month to the next? How do you actually set everything out?
It's quite a mission. It's a big magazine, and it's getting ever bigger. So we have our regular columnists, our regular features. We know the things that our readers love, and it's finding a way of making those new and engaging, and then basically seeing what's going on. You know, what celebrities around that we can chat to, what interesting anniversaries are coming up, and pulling that all together. And it's quite an art form to get a magazine to flow in a way that people want to read it. So it's ever evolving. But when we merged Essex Living with Essex Life at the start of this year, and that gave us an opportunity to really reboot Essex Life and really make it a bit even more special than it was before. So that's been quite good.
And I got a subscription to Essex Life. Somebody gave that to me for a birthday present.
Excellent, excellent present. That
which is a great idea, because if you live in Essex and you want to find out what's going on in Essex, and also for advertising and things, it's brilliant, because it covers everything.
It does,
and it's really well put together. Well, obviously. Some man outside. You okay?
It's your car or your car outside?
No, no, I don't. Mine's down there, but it shouldn't be blocking. Sorry. Oh, right, okay, well, they're left away. there we go. Sorry about that. That was Sylvia running backwards and forwards to the door. Besides all that, you were doing a award-winning vlog as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things as a writer. As I say, I like writing. I've always have done. When I had my son, Sonny, who's now eight, I was on maternity leave, and you're experiencing all these new things, and it's a completely different world being a mum. And the obvious thing for me to do was to write about it, which I did, and I kind of got my blog, which was what Katie did, and just wrote about what was happening, and then that evolved into a column in the Essex newspapers each week. And it was just kind of what was happening in my mummy life world, and it covered things from potty training to IVF to all sorts. And it struck a chord, I think, with a lot of people at that time, because everyone sees, especially in today's world on things like Instagram, it looks so perfect, like mummy life is so perfect, the perfect children, the perfect life, and the reality is sometimes so far from that. So having someone that actually goes, oh my goodness, like this has happened, and like my toddler's just crazy and this and that, I think people really responded to. So it was a lot of fun while I was doing it. Yeah.
What's going to be next for you? You're going to carry on editing, but are you doing any more vlogs, or you got other bits coming
up?
Yeah,
I mean,
vlogs?
I kind of obviously, it's quite full on at the moment, managing the magazines and my son. But I'm actually, one of the things I'm hoping to do potentially later this year is I'm pulling together potentially a book on 237 things to do with children across Essex, because in my job on a day to day, I have so much information and I know so many things, and it would be a great thing to do for that. And I also, I have another website, Baby Eats Out, which is family friendly places to eat everywhere. So I'm basically just trying to get all of those things to work together, which is fun.
Yeah, full on job there. So if people want to find out more about the magazine, or they want to subscribe, where do they need to go?
Their best bet is literally, I mean, they can subscribe online. If you go to the Great British Life website, they can subscribe there. Or alternatively, you can pick up a copy of Essex Life in all supermarkets, good news agents, basically everywhere. And you can subscribe via the magazine. There'll be a lovely QR code in there, or link. So yeah,
brilliant, lovely. Well, it's lovely to see both of you.
Thank you.
And
thank
I will you. See we see you again next month, Sylvia, with another fantastic guest.
Yeah, wow. This is, well, very, very special lady.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, thank you very much for coming in today and chatting.
For having me.
And giving all women out there the inspiration that you can do anything. You can be a mum, and you can work, and you can push yourself, and you can do whatever you like in life.
And don't read, be put read off. Some of those lovely blogs and websites.
Yep, if you're a mummy as well, go and have a look through, because you'll find all those as well. It's really helpful. Lovely to see you both.
Thanks for having us.
Right, just coming up to 12:18, we've got some Sophie Ellis-Bextor. This is Murder on the Dance Floor. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
20 years old, this song, isn't it? I've not seen the film Saltburn, because I'm too frightened to watch it, but apparently there's a very rude scene in it. Nobody seen it?
No.
We're all going to have to watch it now.
Be careful if I'll be you.
Lord.
You better not kill the groove, DJ. Gonna burn this goddamn house right down. Oh, I know about your kind. And so I'll have to play. Dance floor.
That is the brand new one from Billy Brown. I don't want to see your face no more. Now, a face I always like to see is Scott Ross. He's just come into the studio. We'll be having a chat with him in a while. Just coming up to 12:26. We'll have We Are All Fossils with a brand new one called Hollow. They're going to be my guests on Thursday in the studio, and can't wait for them to be playing live. So that'll be absolutely amazing. That'll be Jacob, who's been on the show before, but an amazing live player. And We Are All Fossils is actually, I think it's three or four of the guys actually, won't be on Thursday, but they use We Are All Fossil as the main sort of release under We Are All Fossil, and they all do their own individual tracks. And as a group, they do amazing harmony. But the new track is called Hollow, and it's beautiful. I'm going to play it for you in a while.
Phoenix FM's events guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
And now, what can you get up to in and around Brentwood and Billericay? You've got 70 years in horticulture at the Chancery Way on Monday the 15th of April. A talk by Jim Buttress, hosted by Billericay Horticulture Society between 8pm and 10pm. 3pm for visitors. Refreshments are available.
Phoenix FM's events guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Copfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
My toenail is missing in action. I don't know what happened. You know, I said to you last week, it's, I looked at it and I've got really bad eyesight, but there is a little nub there on the third toe. Big toe, the next toe, and the middle one. I don't know if that means I've got six toes. I don't know what it means. But it just disappeared. And I looked down. I was like, where's my... Because I had my toenails professionally done, you see. And I don't know whether it's because I've been having this thing called shellac, which is like a top coat. It's like putting paint repair on a car, whether that's done it or whether I've sort of been... My foot's rubbed in my shoe. But there's a little nub of a toenail. It would make me feel ill. I don't think I can paint it because it's that small. It's like a line. But I never found it. I don't know where the toenail went. I know if you're eating your lunch, it's probably made you feel ill. But, yeah, I had a lovely weekend with food anyway, talking about fantastic food. The fish that melted in my mouth. The roast beef was delicious on Sunday. But, again, they didn't have horseradish sauce. And I thought that was terrible. And as it's a restaurant, they should have nipped out and bought a couple of jars. I don't know why they didn't. I was quite... Yeah, it's not the same. I told you, if it had been lamb, that would have been it. Because I need to have mint sauce with lamb, not mint jelly, because people who eat mint jelly are, something's wrong with them. And in fact, I'm going to ask Scott Ross. Scott Ross, do you have mint sauce or mint jelly?
I like mint sauce.
Yeah. Have you had mint jelly?
Not specifically.
It reminds me of my mum and dad loved mint jelly. And I tried it, and I just said, that is just... But my dad liked jelly deals. I tried to eat one.
Jelly
I tried
deals.
To eat. I tried to eat some jelly deals once with. He said, "I'll try a bit of vinegar and pepper," and then I cut it. I was trying to cut them up with a knife and fork. And he said, "What are you trying to do? You have to put the whole thing in and then get the meat off of the eel." And I tried it, and that was the last one and only time.
I thought if you cut into a jelly deal, it probably shoot across the room.
Well, apparently back in the day, my mum used to cook jelly deals. You would get the eel from the fishmongers, take it home, chop it up, and then cook it. I said to my mum, I can't believe you used to do that. And it was, I think it's in the early years of them being married, that's what they used to have, jelly deals.
Well, I think everybody had jelly deals in those sort of areas.
Well, they were quite a good food,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah.
Is rock eel's not the same? I think we had this conversation before, because I like rock eel, and that's got one bone down the middle, but jelly deals have got bones all over the plate, and that's what I can't bear.
I've never eaten an eel at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you not like... You don't like seafood, do you?
Yeah, but not shellfish.
So you don't like prawns?
No, I can't really eat them, unfortunately.
Oh, have you got allergy?
No, we can call it an allergy, but it's not good to eat them.
Oh, dear. I've got somebody I know that actually has got is phobic, because you can get all sorts of phobias about prawns, fish, like fish where they've got the head on. They can't be anywhere near them, otherwise they go... It's like me seeing a spider, they get the same reaction and scream and run off. Although, I have to tell you, I have got my spider catcher. It's with me at all times at home. And it's got quite a long handle on it, although it could do with an extra couple of foot handle. And it's got, at the end, it's got like a brush, and it opens up, and then you carefully close it on the spider. It doesn't harm it, and then you can get it outside and let it go.
Assuming it hasn't escaped and run up your arm.
Don't say that. Let's play some Take That with Never Forget. You put me right off. You've done me in now.
We've come so far. And we've reached so high, and we've looked each day and night in the eye, and we're still so young, and we hope for more.
We've come a long way, but we're not too sure where we've been. We've had success, we've had good times. But remember this, being on this path of life for so long, we'll have walked 1,000 miles, sometimes stroll hand in hand with love. Everybody's been there, with danger on my mind, I would stand on the line. Appointment for so long. Feel each day we've come too far. Yet each day seems to make much more. Sure, it's good to be here. I understand the meaning, never can explain this feeling now. That it feels so unreal. And now I see the hand. Reminds me of the stand that I made. The fact of reality.
Never
forget where you're coming from.
Never
pretend that it's all real.
Someday,
soon this will all be someone else's dream. This will be someone else's dream. So far, and we've reached so high, and we look each day and night in the eye, and we're still so young, and we hope for more. But remember this, we're not invincible, we're not invincible,
we're not invincible,
we're only people.
Someday,
soon this will all be so much.
now. We've got an update on the mint jelly. Rob says, I prefer mint jelly on the plate. Well, Rob, he said, but he cooks with mint sauce. And he said, we used to catch eels off the Isle of Sheppey, stewed or jellied. Eels only have one bone, the spine. Oh, right, I thought they had a lot. That is rock eel in there. Yeah, that's what I have at the chip shop. Rock eel, that's taupe, smooth hound, another cheap fish that's a bottom feeder. Ooh, but the flesh is nice. Yeah, oh, right, okay, so it's not the same. Rock eel's different. Yeah, I like rock eel. I don't mind haddock, but I'm in the mood to have that, or cod. But I don't really like battered fish. I'll have it once in a while, but then what I do is I have one piece of batter, and then I'll eat the fish, but not the batter. I don't like batter. My friend had battered fish at the weekend, and they'd used it. They were doing a gluten-free recipe, and it was. She just said the batter. She's an ex-cook. She said the batter was revolting, and she told the waiter that as well. But but it, well, after she'd eaten a little bit, he said, "Do you want us to change it?" She went, "No," but you tell the chef that that's a really bad batter, and it was pale. You know, big batter. They should be when you cut into a fish batter, it should go. It should crunch as you cut in, being crispy. This one sort of went, if that is an actual noise.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
And now just had some updates from Scott Ross on the road. So let's have a little look. Brook Street roundabout is looking fine. Heading up towards the M11, no issues there. And heading down the M25 towards Lakeside, you've got a clear run now. He said there was issues. Is it on the A12? It's got here one lane closed due to a gas main work on the A127 at South Eldershire Road between the A132 East Main Neverden and the A1245 Fairglen Interchange. And there is lots of delays along that section between Neverden and Gardner's Way on the A12. That's looking like it is in both directions. Is that correct?
Yes, A127, not A12.
Yeah, I said A127. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you changed it to A12. It's A127.
Right, thank you very much. Get off the microphone. Always with his, right, A12. Let's look at the A12 now. I think it's absolutely fine on the A12. Can't see any problems. Besides the actual roadworks you've got there between Junction 13 and 16, ongoing while they do the much-needed repairs. In fact, it's a little bit busy coming down from Sandon, actually, down to Howe Green on the A12 at the moment. Doesn't say why, it just might be sheer weight of traffic. You'll get more traffic and travel with Scott Ross in the next hour. Now, coming up here are We Are All Fossils. This is my track of the day, and it's called Hollow. And there will be my guest in the studio. Jacob will be here on Thursday playing live. That is a beautiful song. That's We Are All Fossils with Hollow, and Jacob will be live in the studio this coming Thursday. Coming up next, here is Oasis. This is Cigarettes and Alcohol.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under-16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Phoenix FM.
Sorry, I am laughing. I'm sorry. That's really quite cruel. Sylvia is still here and she said, oh, you've got an award. Is that for you, Scott Ross? I mean, he wishes. It is actually for the whole of the station, isn't it?
Oh. But you've had several awards.
Yeah, yeah.
One.
I've had one award.
Well, okay.
A civic award, which I'm really proud of. For the station, for the work on the station.
Yeah. It's very, very impressive.
But the one over there is not. That is for the station. That's not an individual. That's for the whole station, yeah.
Yeah.
But then mine was, because it was for the station. It's just I happened to get it.
You thought that somebody might sit on it and...
Well, it's actually a very pointy piece of glass. I said last week, be careful where that goes. It's to do somebody a very nasty injury. Would you like to tell people what's coming up on your show? You sit down, put your headphones on, I'll turn them up for you. I know you like to get comfy.
Right, there's no headphones here, so I won't.
don't get comfy, then just tell us what's coming up.
Right, well, all being well, if my guest doesn't get stuck in on the A127, Mike Davis from the Rainy Town Museum is here, and he's going to be... telling us all about the history of Southend, and we also have news of a rather terrifying flight where the flight crew was sound asleep. All of that and tons of music coming up between 1 and 3 right here on the mighty Phoenix 98 FM.
More music than you can shake a stick at.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, that's normally what you say. You didn't say it today. I was waiting for that.
Well, I'm sorry.
People like to have your little taglines in, you know.
I think the only tag they want to see is my disappearance out of the door.
No, they do not. No, they do not. Now, it's just come out to 12:49. I've got a brand new track to play in a while by Square Wave. They were on the show, actually, I think last year or the year before. They're doing brilliantly. Got loads of great reviews and being played all over the BBC, so congratulations. Then we've got some Roachwood, which will probably take us up nearly to the news. So coming up, we've got some ads, and I'll be back with more right after this.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
Want to get the home improvements you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank? Thanks to SEHBAC, you can now transform your home for less. We're offering up to 40% off our extensive range of high-quality windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Plus, 2 years interest-free finance available. Get the inspiration you need and breathe new life into your home at a price you can afford by visiting your nearest SEHBAC showroom or SEHBAC.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Phoenix FM.
That is the brand new one from Square Wave with a Too Far. First play on the show. Just coming up to 12:53. Scott Ross is coming up next with a guest. I have to say thank you very much to Katie and to Sylvia for being on my show earlier with the book club. And if you missed any of that, it will be up on a listen again. And check out the website, because there is loads and loads and loads of great interviews, reviews and news and guest writers on the website. That's all the wsphoenixfm.com. 440,000 hits we get a month. That might have increased actually, but that was the last figure I had for the website. So very, very busy. Now, what's coming up next? What have I not done? Oh, I know, the events.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Now, I might have done the events, but I can't remember. It's always good to have loads of events. Now, let's have a look. Monday nights, if you like a little bit of singing, you can go along to the Essex Arms this evening between 8pm and 10pm. Kev Pickett will be there. All tracks are recorded and a selection are played at the Sunday sessions every Sunday from 10am. Now, you go along to the Phoenix FM open mic night, Essex Arms. You bring along a backing track or your guitar. You might have a little portable keyboard, bring it along, and you can test out your songs. Whether you're a first time singer or you've been doing stuff for years and years and years, it's still a nice way to be in a friendly atmosphere. Everyone is welcome, all age groups as well, so pop along. And even if you want to turn up and just pop along and hear some music, as I said, you can do that. And yeah, pop along and get some new music, new tunes in your ears.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Cotfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Start your week with a giggle. I'm Scott Ross, and I'm your host on the Monday and Tuesday editions of the 1-2-3 Show. Surprise guests, a regular historical feature on Tuesdays, a lot of laughs, and more music than you can shake a stick at. So join me if you can between 1 and 3 every Monday and Tuesday afternoon, right here on the mighty Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, as you know, Scott's going to be chatting to Mike Davis from Rayleigh Town Museum about Prittle Well, the origins of Southend, and some key landmarks, including the pier, the Kersal and the airport and football club. That's all coming up. Also this week, I'm going to be talking to Tracy Johnson from Vita Health Group about mental health. That will be tomorrow. Mental health in the workplace. And then later on during the week, on Thursday, we've got Jacob Diest from We Are All Fossils, who's going to be playing live in the studio on the show, but plenty more coming up as well. I know Joe's got a few guests coming up this week. Author Simon Compton. She's also chatting to Michelle Spencer about mindfulness. So plenty more coming up. Have a great afternoon. I'm going to leave you with some Roachford, and thanks to my guest Sylvia and to Katie Pearson.
If we could have a world or something to make us better, like a million diamonds and pearls, would they matter? We've been looking everywhere, something that makes us happy, but it's always been right here, where you and me have everything we need. 'Cause we got all the love, we got all the love we need. You and me got, oh, more than just enough. We got all the love we need. And as long as you're here with me, there ain't nothing that we can't be. Oh, we got, oh, more than just enough. We got all the love we need. You could have silver and gold and everything people may dream of, but if you have no hand to hold, it's not enough, could never be enough. It's knowing you got someone, someone who gives you reason, something you know is strong, and with you I see the best thing is free. All the love we need.
Don't need loving, cause baby, we got it. Don't need nothing from nobody. Don't need loving, cause baby, we got
just
it.
Enough.
Yeah, cause we got it.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.